Okay, today's daf is Baba Kama Daf Chaf Aleph. We left off in Daf Chaf Amud Beis. We are in the middle of the sugya of Zenen of Zelachaser. We are up to Itmar, about 12 lines before the end of the page. Last one on the line is Rav Kahana. So Itmar, Rav Kahana, Rabbi Yochanan, Eino Tzarech La'alos L'Schar. So again, the case was, the way to formulate the case of Zenen of Zelachaser is the way it was formulated in the Gemara on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph toward the bottom, where Rav Chista told Rabbi Bar Chama, you missed a great discussion last night at the Beis Medrash. He said, what was the great discussion? So the way he formulates it is as follows: Hador bechatzer chavero shalomi daito tzarech lalos l'scharo ein tzarech. You live in, so you squat in somebody else's chatzer without his knowledge. The guy has no idea you're there. Do you have to pay for your living expense for living there, or do you not have to pay for living there? So going back to that discussion, we tried to bring rayas from five different places. So now the Gemara is just saying, halacha l'maisa, what are we paskin? So itmar Rav Kana Rav Yochanan. So Rav Kana Rav Yochanan says, Eino tzarech la'alos l'schar. You do not have to pay. Zenen of Zelachaser is potter. Rabbi Avoh Amar Rav Yochanan, tzarech la'alos l'schar. You absolutely do have to pay. Zenen of Zelachaser is chayiv. Amar Papa, had Rabbi Avoh lav beferishit marel mechalit. We should realize that Rabbi Avoh's comment, Rabbi Avoh's psak, that you do have to pay, he never actually really said it. We just figured it out based on a conversation that occurred when Rabbi Avoh was there. What was the conversation? Ditnan, we learned in the Mishnah, Natal Evno Kura Shel Hegdish. If the Gizbar of Hegdish takes a stone or a beam that belongs to Hegdish, Hareze Lo Ma'al, he has not yet violated Mi'ilah, because he's the Gizbar, he's allowed to take these things, he's just not allowed to use them for personal use. So while he has it in his possession, not yet Mi'ilah. Nasna l'chavero, once however he gives it to his friend, so then, hu ma'al v'chavero lo ma'al, then he's already in violation of mi'ilah. So Frektosos, wait a second, that's when he violates mi'ilah? Frektosos dibra maskel nasna, in the middle of the tosos, v'im tomer mikol makom limol, davi miskavin liknos. I mean, as soon as he intends to keep it, shouldn't that be a violation of mi'ilah? Why is it only a violation of mi'ilah when he gives it to somebody else? Obviously, when he took it, he wasn't taking it just to watch for hegdish. From the fact that he gave it to someone else, megala, that originally when he took it, he was intending to keep it. So as soon as he has kavana to keep it, it should be a violation of mi'ilah. So Tosus answers, v'yeshlomar de'ein adam mo'el ela b'miskavin lahotzio mirishus mishahu v'hachlu hu savar shalohu. Over here, it could be the guy made a mistake. He thought it was his. So if he thought it was his, he didn't have any kavana to take it away from it. He did have kavana to keep it because he thought it was his. But you're only in violation of mi'ilah when you have kavana to take it away from Hegdish. And that wasn't his kavana because he didn't even realize it belonged to Hegdish. He got confused. His stuff got mixed up with the Hegdish stuff. He has so much stuff flying around. So he got confused. But once he gives it to Chavero, once he gives it to somebody else, then he's in violation of Mi'ilah. None of that matters to us yet. The reason why we're quoting this Mishnah is the following. Bana l'toch beso, if he builds that beam into his house, now, again, we're talking about the Gizbar, he didn't give it to his friend. Now, we're going back to the original case, the Gizbar has this beam, and instead of giving it to his friend, he just builds it into his own home. Hareze lo ma'al ad sheyadr tachta shava pruta. He's only in violation of Mi'ilah if he lives in it a shava pruta's worth of hana'a from the beam. So he puts the beam over a big gaping hole in the ceiling, and he lives under it, and he gets hana, and it snows, and he gets hana from the protection that the beam is offering, a shava pruta worth of hana. Now he's violating mi'ilah. Va'amar Shmuel, and Shmuel says, v'ushenicha al pi aruba. That's assuming he puts it al pi aruba, meaning he didn't really build it into the house, it was just this open skylight on his roof, so he covered it up with the beam. But had he actually stuck it in really well and built it into the house, you wouldn't have to wait for him to get a shava pruta worth of hana from it. If he really built it into his house, then he'd be in violation of mi'ilah immediately. You wouldn't have to wait for him to get a shava pruta of hana. That's Rashi. V'ushe nichal pi aruba v'lo kava bebinyan. He didn't really set it in. Delavi shinoi, because it's not really a shinoi yet when he just puts it there. Hilkoch lo ma'alat sheyadu tachtaz. Therefore, he's not in violation of mi'ilah until he actually gets hana from it. But had he set it into his house, then it would not be a violation of Mi'ilah. Then it would be a violation of Mi'ilah immediately, even if he doesn't yet get Hana'a from it. Frektosos, wait a second, if he sets it into his house, what did he do to it? It's still just a beam. Pirushakunchus, Delokav Bibinyan, Delavi Shinoi, Hilkoch Lomal Achiyadatakta, Rashi said, Frektosos Vitema, Ki Kavanami Lokani. When even when he was Koveya in the house, when he put it in really well, He still is not kone. The shinui achozel lebriyasohu, because it's a shinui that can easily be undone. Kedamar bagoz al kama. So the other rishonim, the Rashba writes that no, you have to say that when do you say he needs to get hanav of shava pruta in order to violate mila? Either when he puts it over skylight, or even when he firmly puts it into his house. When do you not need to get hanav of shava pruta and you violate mila anyway? When you shape it, you cut it down, you do something to change it. If you didn't do anything to change it, then you're not going to violate mila until you get a shava pruta worth of hanav. But anyway, none of that is what's really critical over here. It's the follow-up conversation on this Mishnah that we're going to try to be medayik from. So that was the Mishnah. Then v'yasav Rabbi Avo kamid Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Avo was sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan. V'ka'amar mishmei de Shmuel. And Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Shmuel, Zoso meres hadar b'chatzer chaveru shalom midaito sarich lahalos loschar. That Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Shmuel, you know, this is the exact same thing as someone squatting in someone else's property without his permission, and you see from here that you have to pay for it. The Shasakle, and Rabbi Yavo sat there silent and just seemed to accept it. He didn't respond when Rabbi Yochanan said that in the name of Shmuel. Now, why is it so samaras? How does one lead to the other? What do we have to do with Me'ila? So Rashi points out, Midiktani d'chidor tachtei chayiv v'afgav t'shlomi das hegdish avad. Hegdish doesn't realize that you're taking the beam of Hegdish and you're using it. So you're doing it Shalomidas Hegdish. You're getting Hana'a from the beam of Hegdish Shalomidas, and we see it's called a violation of Me'ila. So apparently when you get Hana'a from somebody else's stuff, you're not ruining it, you're not destroying, you're not doing anything to it, he's not chaser, he doesn't even realize you're doing it, right? Like when you're squatting in someone else's property, but you're getting Hana'a from someone else's stuff, from the stuff that belongs to Hegdish, that's already a violation of Me'ila. That Hana'a is something you're going to have to pay for, meaning in Me'ila you're gonna have to pay with a carbon, you're gonna have to deal with it, you're gonna have to pay with a chiyuv. Whereas in Ben Adam L'Chavero, when you squat in someone else's house, therefore we see the Hana'a itself is something you're gonna have to pay for. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Shmuel, and Rabbi Avo didn't respond. So we see Rabbi Avo must hold. So Iu Savar Midashasuk Modele. So the Gemara originally assumed, or at least that Rabbi Avo holds, from the fact that Rabbi Avo didn't respond, that he must be Mode, he must agree with Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Shmuel, that Taka you do have to pay, that a squatter has to pay, Zenon of Zeluchasra has to pay. But says the Gemara, it's really not true. Velohi, Rabbi Avo didn't really agree to what Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Shmuel. Ashkuche lo ashkuche. He really just wasn't paying any attention. He thought it wasn't even worth responding to. It wasn't even a discussion. And that's why he didn't respond. He thought, for sure you're Pater. There's no way you're going to be Chayiv. And there's no comparison between the case of Hegdish and the case of a squatter. Why is there no comparison? Seemed like a very good comparison, that I'm getting Hana, Hegdish doesn't realize I'm using their stuff. So isn't that exactly a comparison? So says Gemara, no. Kedarabba, Dama Rabba, Hegdish Shalomidas, Kehedyot Midas Dami. Anytime you get Hana from Hegdish, even if it's Shalomidas, or what you would call Shalomidas, and Hegdish doesn't realize, so think about it. What do you mean Hegdish doesn't realize? Who's Hegdish? The Ribbono Shalom. The Ribbono Shalom realizes. So every time, every case of Hegdish is Midas, is that the real owner realizes what you're doing. So there's no such comparison that it's, oh, the Hegdish doesn't even realize I'm using the beam, they're not losing anything, and I'm just getting Hana from the beam, and you see I have to pay for it. So therefore by a squatter it's the same thing. No, the Ribbono Shel Olam knows that you're getting Hana. So it's not at all the same. And that's why Rabbi Avo didn't even bother responding to Rabbi Yochanan Amar Shmuel. It's not even worth responding to because it was so obvious. Now if you look at the bottom Tosfos, Ashkuche lo Ashkechbe, says Tosfos Shmuel Atzmo Hadarbe. And the truth is, such a strong taina that there's a difference between Hegdish and a regular guy, Shmuel himself actually changes his mind. We're going to see him in Maseches Bava Metzia. So even Shmuel never held this way. Now it's interesting, the Rashash in over here points out, he says, L'chora kasha, Eich lo chash la hashiva al masha amar b'shem Shmuel. If I say a chiddush and whatever, a little kid maybe says, I have a kasha, I don't think it's right, or something like that. So, okay, maybe I won't bother responding, because, probably people will understand that there's some type of answer and that I didn't respond. Over here, Rabbi Yochanan says something in the name of Shmuel. How could Rabbi Avo just ignore that and assume, everyone will realize I'm right? He says something in the name of Shmuel. How could you not respond? Halo af hecha deshasek rav, Rav Kanav, Rav Lazar, Ravaski, Shayu talmidei chaveru milav. Even in the situations where rav, a lot of times throughout Shas, who do we find is the one that's shasek? It's always rav. Shasik Rav. Rav was quiet, he didn't respond. Even when Rav does that, to people who were Talmidei Chaverim of his, people who were on his level or slightly lower than him. So even Rav, whenever, we don't say that he was Shasik because he didn't bother responding. Usually it's because he was Moda. There's a Tosos in Mesechus Bava Basra, Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph, where Tosos goes through half the cases in Shas, where Shasik Rav, and Tosos shows that Shasik Rav really means he was Moda. That Rav is always Moda when it's Shasik Rav. So this is even Rav, when he's dealing with contemporaries, when he's Shasik, it means he's really Moda. So Kolshkin Rabbi Yochanan LeShmuel, Shayu Gadol Mimenu, Rabbi Yochanan responding to Shmuel, Shmuel was greater than Rabbi Yochanan. So his Shasik is, he doesn't even bother responding because he thinks Shmuel is so wrong. How could he act with such chutzpah toward Shmuel and toward Rabbi Yochanan or Shmuel? So says the Rashash, V'yishlomer mishum diyada Rabbi Yochanan de Shmuel atzmo hadar bei, k'di isa b'ba metziya. L'zer nir li shekivnu atosos b'viyam zahacha. He says, it's because the Gemara knew that Shmuel had changed his mind. That's why he didn't have to bother responding, because it was obvious that Shmuel had changed his mind. And that's why Tosus mentions the fact that Shmuel changed his mind over here. What does that have to do with our sugya, the fact that Shmuel changed his mind? Otherwise, it doesn't explain how could Ashkuche lo Ashkechvei? How could you just not even bother discussing it? No, because Shmuel himself changed his mind. That's why it's not even worthy of discussion. You figure, when people do their research, they're going to realize that what they're quoting in the name of Shmuel isn't even Shmuel at all. Shmuel had changed his mind. Now, this idea of Hegdish Shalomidas is Kehedyot Midas Dami, that Hegdish is always considered to be Das. So if you look at Tosos, at the top, Tosos points out that it's the Das element is a little bit overrated over here. I mean, the issue of whether there's Das or not Das is not really the primary issue over here. Says tells us Pirusha Kuntras to Das Shchina Ika, that God always knows. He says Vakasha the Shlomi Daito Lav Dafka Elu Urche Demilsa Naket. Meaning when we formulate the case, we say what's the case of Zenen of Zol Chaser? Someone who's Dar Bechaser Chavero Shlomi Daito without his knowledge. So the truth is, it doesn't really matter if it's with his knowledge or without his knowledge. The point is that the guy isn't losing anything by having me live here, but I'm getting hana from living here. His knowledge is just, you know, that's just normally the case. It's without his knowledge. But it doesn't always have to be without his knowledge. That's not the key element. So he says, V'kash, the Shlomi Daito Lav Dafka, L'Urche Demilsanak. It's just, normally it happens to be a squatter is without the das of the people who own the property. V'adin Midaito, but the same would hold true if it is Midaito, as long as it's Zenen of Zelo Chaser. So Elen Yeratoso says, Kehedyot Midasta Mikolomar. What it means to say over here, when we say that the reason that the case of Hegdish and the regular case are not comparable, is didas shchini ika shlo yahana adam b'lo mi'ila, that the nature of the isr mi'ila is that the isr mi'ila is very much hana'a based. Meaning the halacha just is that you're going to violate mi'ila when you get hana from Hegdish. That's just the halacha. If you're getting hana from Hegdish, you're going to violate mi'ila. It has nothing to do with whether Hegdish is chaser or not. As opposed to ben adam l'chaveru issues, how much you're going to have to pay, may depend a lot on what you're costing the other guy. And maybe a din nizikin, maybe not a din in how much hana I get, but am I hurting him? Am I damaging him? Am I bothering him in any way? So by a hedyot, where it's between two people, we're going to focus a lot on whether it's chaser and whether the other guy is losing anything. Whereas by hekdish, it has nothing to do with whether it's chaser. If you're getting hana, that's the only question we have to ask. If you're getting hana, you violate a mila, period. And that's really the chiluk between hegdish and a hedyot. I fight in the Gemara. Shaluch le Rabbi Abba bar Zivda lemari bar Mar, boi minei Rav Huna, hadar b'chatzach haver shalom idai to tzorek la'al s'oschar alav. So he said, I want you to ask Rav Huna, if someone lives in chatzach haver shalom idai to our case, zen an avizalu chaser, do you need to pay for it or not? So before Rav Huna can answer, adahachi nach nafshed Rav Huna. Before Rav Huna was able to answer, he died. So they were left without an answer. So Amalei Rabba Bar Rav Huna. So Rabba Bar Rav Huna was around, and he said, "Oh, don't worry, I remember what Tati said." Hachi Amar Rabba Mari. So said Abba Mari, Mishmei de Rav, in the name of Rav, Eino Tzarech La Lus Loschar. You don't have to pay. Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out in his Hagos, in the back of the Gemara over here, he says this must have been this comment of Rabba Bar Rav Huna must have been made more than 12 months after Rav Huna died. Because how can he call him just Abba Mari? The Gemara in Kiddush Lamed Aleph says, a father dies, when you quote him in the first 12 months, it's Abba Mari Hareni Kaparas Mishkavo.
And then you see he doesn't use the phrase Harini Kaparas Meshkavel. That's how you have to quote a father after he dies. A lot of people don't do that, but really halacha lemaisa, you should. It's in Shulchan Aruch. One should, if they're in that situation, say that phrase. But anyway, so he says it has to be after Yud Beis Chodesh. Could be the Gemara is just paraphrasing. You know, it doesn't have to quote the whole thing. But okay. But anyway, that's what Rabbi Yaakov Emden says. So Rabbi Ravuna says, no, I remember what my father says, that you don't have to pay when it's a case of Zenen of Zeluchaser. Vasocher Bais Meruven Malaschal Shimon. Oh, and by the way, I remember something else my father said. My father also said that when you rent a house from Ruvain, you have to pay the money to Shimon. You have to pay rent to Shimon. So frankly, Shimon, why would you do that? Who's Shimon? Why would you pay money to Shimon if you're renting the house from Ruvain? Now, Hachi Kamer, this is what he meant to say. Nimtza habayish al Shimon malaloschar. That if you're renting a house from Ruvain rents you out the house, and you assumed it belonged to Ruvain, and then you do a little bit of research, and you do a title search or something, and it turns out that it's really Shimon's house, so then you have to start sending your rent payments to Shimon, not to Ruvain. That's all he's saying. So basically, Rav Huna made two comments. Number one, Zenen of Zeluchaser, if you're a squatter, you don't need to pay. Number two, if you're renting a house from Ruvain, and then you find out that it really belongs to Shimon didn't even know about it, you have to start paying Shimon. Frankly, Gemara, Tarti? Are those two piske halacha compatible? In the first psak halacha we say Zenen of Zeluchaser, you don't have to pay. Second case, Shimon has no idea who you are. He doesn't even know you're living there. So much so that Reuven's renting you out the house and Shimon has no clue. So now you have to pay Shimon? What do you have to pay Shimon for? If he has no idea. So isn't that a case of Zenen of Zeluchaser? Shimon's not losing anything. He doesn't even realize you're there. It's Shalomi Daito. You're there. You're getting Hanah from it. So if you hold Zenen of Zeluchaser's pater, so how can you say that you're going to have to pay Shimon? So that's the Gemara's kasha. Tarti. So answers the Gemara, big difference between the two cases. Had de kaimela agra, had de lo kaimela agra. The difference is, when it's a property that could be rented out, then you're going to have to pay money to Shimon. Because Shimon knows that no one's called him to rent out the property. He doesn't realize why no one's called him to rent out the property. No one's called him because they see that there are people living there. But had they seen that it was vacant, then they would be happy to, Shimon would be very happy to rent out the property. So in that case, you're going to have to pay because Shimon is chaser. But when it's lo kai milagro, when it's really a zenen of zelo chaser case, when it's a property that's not to be rented out, not meant to be rented out, so then you're not going to have to pay. So the two piskei halacha of Rav Huna are very much compatible with each other. Now the implication over here is that had it been, let's say, the case of Reuven and Shimon, had it been a case of lo kai milagra, a property that was not meant to be rented out, but Reuven, then you would not have to pay Shimon any money. Because Zenen of Zeluchaser. So, Frekta Shidim Mugbet says, wait a second. Zenen of Zeluchaser generally works that I never indicate that I want to pay. So, I'm just squatting. I'm just living here. Once I indicate that I'm willing to pay for something, so then, like we had the case of Makif Nikif, right? The case of the guy who owned fields around the other guy. As soon as Shimon, the inside guy, goes and builds, the Shimon in that case, goes and builds a fence, so we say, now Megalgan will love us a call. He has to pay for everything else because he's Megaladas and he's willing to pay. As soon as you megala das that you're willing to pay, the whole zenen of zeluchaser goes out the window. Once you show that you're willing to pay for something, so you can't say, you know, oh, why is it a loss to you? If I showed I'm willing to pay Reuven, so why shouldn't I be willing to pay Shimon? I should absolutely be chayiv. That's the kasha of the Shittu Mekvetza. So the Arsameach in Hilchos Gezeil Vaveda Per Gimel Halacha Tes discusses this issue, and the Arsameach writes as follows. He says, it's pashut, the chiluk is pashut. He says, a lot of people ask this question, but he says, there's a big difference. I was only megaladas that I'm willing to pay Reuven. I was not megaladas that I'm willing to pay Shimon. Now, wait a second, why would it make a difference if I'm willing to pay Reuven and willing to pay Shimon? So Shittim Kvetza seems to imply that sometimes, you know, you're willing to pay somebody, you're willing to give someone business. You just want to give the guy business. You don't really need the, you know, you don't really need the what he's offering, or you do need it, but you don't really have to get it from him, but he's a nice guy, or he needs the money, so you want to go give him business. So sometimes just because you're Megala Dasa, you're willing to pay one guy, doesn't mean you'd be willing to pay another guy for the same service. But the Arsameach says, no, it's much more than that. He says, De emas goli adaite de nichle lemea v'agra, im yesachar abayis etzlo, alzman shesachar kamo mecher. Meaning, when I rent a house from Reuven, I rented it for 30 days. So I'm willing to pay if I know that for 30 days no one's going to bother me, no one's going to kick me out, I rented for a year, whatever it is, whatever the time period is, I have at least the comfort level of knowing that as long as that time period goes, I'm not going to have to be thrown out of this house, I'm not going to have to move, I'm not going to have to worry about someone telling me to get out of here, I signed the lease, I'm good to go for that amount of time. That level of Yishuv Hadas is something worth paying for. But had I known that Shimon was the real owner, and I don't really have any agreement with Shimon, I'm just living in Shimon's property. Shimon doesn't know that I had signed a lease with Reuven to be there for 2 years, and Shimon doesn't care what I signed with Reuven. Reuven doesn't own it. So Shimon finds out, he can come at any moment and say, get out of here, I don't want you on my property. So if that's a possibility, that Shimon could just kick me out, so that then I don't have that level of Yishuv Hadas to know that I have it for this amount of time. Mela, I'm not necessarily willing to pay. Just because I was willing to pay for a signed lease doesn't mean I'm willing to pay for that as well, for a deal with Shimon where I could be thrown out at any moment as well. Okay.
Isn't that the case anyway? Because really, it's not Reuven's, he's just there. So really, Shimon can come regardless if he's done his research.
Yeah, meaning, but that's exactly the point, right? Shimon could come regardless. Shimon could come and throw him out. And since Shimon could come and throw him out, so it's Reuven, so the renter never showed that he's willing to pay. He only showed that he's willing to pay if he'd be able to really stay there. But he never showed that he's willing to pay if he can't stay there. So good. So Itmar Nami, further in the Gemara, Itmar Nami, Amar B'chia Bar Avin Amar Rav, Amri Lo Amar B'chia Bar Avin Amar Rav Huna, Hadar B'chatzar Chaveru Shalomi Daito, Eino Tzar Chlalus L'Skar. If someone lives in his friend's Chatzar Shalomi Daito without his knowledge, you don't have to pay him. V'asochar Bayis Mibnei Yair Malas Skar L'Bailim. And if you rent a house from people in the city, you have to pay the true owners of the house. So by the way, what are we talking about? Who are these true owners? You're renting from the Bnei Ha'ir, so it's the same thing. Halchi Kamer, this is what we mean to say. Nimtzu lo bailim malan lenschar. If you find out that the guys you're renting from aren't the real owners, and you find out who the owners are, you do the title search, then you have to pay the real owners. And again, just like Rav Huna, we said, Tarti? Can you say on the one hand that Zen and Zel Chasser, you don't have to pay, and then you're renting a house from Reuven, you find out Shimon's the real owner, you do have to pay? Isn't that Zen and Zel Chasser? So again, we said, Hadakai Milagro, Hadalokai Milagro. We make that same chilik, depends if the house was one that was, Reuven could have made money, that Shimon could have made money off of, or one that he couldn't. Amarav Schora, Amarav Huna, Amarav. Hadar b'chatzar chaveru shalom idaito ein tzarech la'alus l'schar. You don't have to pay in the case of zenen of zelo chasar. Why? So totally new svara thrown out. Normally we've been saying, well, why? Because the ikar is the chisar. I mean, the mechayev of paying is not the hana you get. It's the chisaron you're causing the other guy. It's like a nezek, right? That's what we've been saying for the last daf. That's why zenen of zelo chasar is going to be pater, right? And that's why we paskin zenen of zelo chasar is pater. Says the gemara, no. Nothing to do with the svara. Mishum shenemar, it's a pasuk. Pasuk says, Ushi'iya yukas sha'ar. That's what the pasuk says. What does it mean, Ushi'iya yukas sha'ar? So says Rashi, tu pshatim. Shi'iya, shade, sheshmo shi'iya. It's the name of some type of shade, some type of demon. Mikate shar bayis, she'in b'nei adam darimbo, meaning when a house is abandoned. So it doesn't command the same price as a house that's lived in. Because there are shadim in that house, and it's like haunted, and it's spooky. So people don't like to live in a house that's been abandoned for a long time. So therefore, when I'm living in the guy's house, I'm actually giving him benefit. Meaning he may not like the fact that I'm living there, he may not want me there once he finds out about it, but I actually benefited him, because at least it wasn't one of those scary houses that the kids are afraid to walk by, right? It was a house that was lived in. So Shi'iyah Yukas Shar. Rashi says another pshat, just in reading the words of the pasuk, is that Shi'iyah is not the name of a shade. He says Bayishu Sha'oi. Sha'oi means it's left alone. No one's there. Yukas Sha'ar is going to be smitten by Sha'ar, which is Mazikin, which are, again, types of demons and spiritual forces that are somehow going to hurt this house. So anyway, but that's the reason why I don't have to pay, because I'm actually giving the guy benefit. Not only is he not Chaser, he's gaining from my living there. So the kasha that all the Achronim ask is wait a second, that this is against everything we've been saying, right? We've been saying the whole time that the problem is that that the mechayev is the whether you cost him anything versus the hana'a. Over here we're saying a totally different svara, that I'm giving him hana'a. So I think the Rashba explains that the difference is that, meaning the idea that you're giving him hana is enough to offset the fact that when you live in a house, as much as the guy isn't losing by you living there, he's got to be losing something. You know, you break a little thing, there's a crack in the wall, there's something that you, something that goes wrong when you're in the house, or something that could happen just by the fact that you're living there. There's some type of minor hezek, even if you don't feel like there's any hezek. So in order to offset that, just to make an even, to even the playing field, so we say, you know what? Klape that, you have a certain amount of benefit that you're giving him. So now it's even again. Now it's back to Zenen of Zeluchaser. So it's an even case of Zenen of Zeluchaser. And that's, and then again, why you pater? Because he's not really chaser. Because whatever he's chaser, you make up for by putting people in the house. Amr Marbar Avashi, the Didi Chazile, Menagach Kitura. Marbar Avashi says, yeah, I've seen that shade, and it gores like an ox. Rav Yosef Aram Beis HaMisra Yosef. Rav Yosef says, no, nothing to do with shadim. Just having people live in the house is beneficial to the house, because if someone lives in the house and the toilet paper dispenser breaks, they'll fix it. Little things that go wrong, they'll just take care of it. They'll take care of the little things that will go wrong in the house when someone lives there. Whereas if it's abandoned, things will break and whatever, and no one's ever going to get to fixing it. So my benai, what's the nafkamina between whether it's keeping the shadim out or the just fixing up of the house? Let's say the house was used for storage. So if it was used for storage, so the shadim were out anyway, because there are people going in every once in a while. But in terms of keeping it fixed up, the wood that you store there isn't keeping anything fixed up. So that's the nafgamina, what the benefit is of you living there. The whole idea of shadim that we have in many, many Gemaras throughout Shas, it's kedai to mention, because this week is Parshas Ve'era, and this is where Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and Emes Liakov has a famous piece on shadim. Rabbi Yaakov asks in this week's parsha about the Chatume Mitzrayim. So he says, everyone knows that Bizmanenu Chadlu Hamachashim, we don't have Kishuf anymore. Gam HaShadim Nelmu, we don't have Shadim anymore. V'chein HaDibukim Shesupu Lanu Avaseinu. And even the Dibuk, which we heard about from just two generations ago, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman telling stories of the Chafetz Chaim exercising a dibbuk and things like that. We don't have this anymore. Where did all this go? Where did all these spiritual forces go? And you have all these gemaras about shadim. You learn in the gemara brachos about the thousands of shadim that are on our right side and on our left side and all over the place. Where did all this go? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky suggests a mahalich where he says that essentially there has to be this constant balance in the world. That in order for a human being to have bechira, to do the right thing or the wrong thing, we have to have a balance in spiritual forces. So when there's nevuah, if a person had nevuah and there was no counterforce on the side of tumah, how could you not be frum? How could you not do the right thing? There's a navi doing osos mofsin. But if you have a mechashef doing something, you know, with forces of tumah on the opposite side, okay, so then you could then you have bechira again. So whenever there's this, an incredible force of kedusha on the one side, there has to be a balancing force of tumah on the other. So he says, in the times of Chazal, they had shadim, they did exist, they had shadim, but that was only because there was ruach hakodesh, there was some level of higher spirituality that was able to be balanced by the. By the Shadim. And he says, with this I could answer up the Rambam. The Rambam famously says that there's no such thing as Shadim. And a lot of people didn't like the Rambam. The Vilna Gaon famously said that the Rambam was got messed up in his hashkafos because he studied too much philosophy. He was too rational, and that's why he thought that there's no such thing as Shadim, and he takes all these Gemaras and all of Shas and has to come up with crazy ways to explain them, because there's really no such thing as Shadim, the Rambam holds. So he says, no, maybe the Rambam held today there's no such thing as Shadim. It's definitely not Pshat in the Rambam, but it's whatever, it's a nice approach anyway. But maybe he held that today there's no such thing as Shadim, but back in the old days there used to be such a thing as Shadim when there were opposite forces of Kedusha that were just as strong. Okay, Viter. Who gathered the There was a guy who built a palace on abandoned land of Yesomim. Well, not abandoned, on unusable land of Yesomim. It was like an ashba, garbage dump. Agve Rav Nachman la'apadne mine, and Rav Nachman made him give up his palace. So you see, Rav Nachman holds that you have to pay for squatting. So who may occur a carbonai have a diary baby? So says, no. In that case, there were people living there, and they used to pay some very nominal amount of money to the Yesomim to be able to live there. So therefore, you are causing him to be chaser. So that's why you need to pay him. So why don't you just pay him? Why do you have to give up the whole palace? Just pay him the nominal amount. Let him pay him the 2 cents that these Karmunai people were paying him. So Tosfos says, no, you see, the whole sugi of Zen and of Zelo Chaser is only when the other guy isn't losing anything. As soon as the other guy is losing something, you can't just pay for that loss. You have to pay for your full Hana'ah. Once he's losing, once it's no longer a case of Zen and of Zelo Chaser, now you have to pay for the entire Hana'ah. He says, that explains back in yesterday's daf, we said, the blackening of the walls, right? That maybe the fact that you're blackening the walls, you have to pay. How much does that cost? That doesn't cost too much. The fact that every day I live there, the walls get a little bit darker, the paint gets a little less bright and shiny, that doesn't cost anything. That's a couple of cents a day. No, but the point is, once there's any sense of chaser, so now I have to pay for the entire hana'ah. So Amalei Zil Paisim Eliyaspi V'lashkach. So he told him, what, you should go pay the Yisomim. He didn't want to listen. Sagvi Rav Nachman. Rapati Min Rav Nachman made him give up his palace. Oh, so, okay, Vaitzer. Ketzim Mishnah Mishmashin Edis. So the Mishnah had said that if the animal eats from the Rishos HaRabim, so it only has to pay for the hana that it gets, not for the damage caused. Whereas if the animal goes off onto the sides, into the Rishos HaYachid, and eats from there, it has to pay for the whole damage. Amarav ubi machzeres, that when do we say that the animal is has to pay for the entire damage? When the animal is walking the Rishos HaRabim, sticks its head over to the side, into the Rishos HaYachid, and eats out of the Rishos HaYachid. Ushmol amarav fil machzeres nami patah. Shmol says, no, if the animal is walking in the street, and is able to stick its head aside into the Rishos HaYachid and eat from it, it can't be chayiv for that. That's just like damaging the Rishos HaRabim. The animal's body's in the Rishos HaRabim, so it's not going to be chayiv for that. Ula Shmuel, hechem ishkatsun the mechayiv. So according to Shmuel, when would you be chayiv? Kigon deshavskal l'rchav v'azav v'kam mitzid l'rchav, where the animal takes its whole body and moves to the Rishos HaYachid and eats from there. That's when you're going to be chayiv. But if it just moves its head, you're not going to be chayiv. V'ikad masin l'hashmait b'api nafsha. Some have the conversation in the following manner. Machzeres, Rav amachayiv l'shmol amr p'tur. If the animal sticks its head aside, so Rav says you're chayiv as if you ate from Rishos HaNizik, and Shmuel says, no, you're pater, you're eating from the Rishos HaRabim, you're the animal standing in the Rishos HaRabim. So when would Shmuel say you are chayiv? When does Shmuel consider it that you're actually eating from the Rishos HaNizik? Where the animal actually walks out of the street and goes into the tzidei rechava, goes into the side where the individuals are, into the Rishos HaNizik, and actually eats from there. So that's the only case where Shmuel would say you're chayiv. The Mishnah said that if the animal eats from the doorway, the opening of the store, so it has to only pay for the hanaka, not for the full damage done. The case is obviously a case of machzeres, because the Pesach Hachanos is not in the middle of the street. It's on the side of the street, so obviously the animal stuck its head aside and ate from it. And v'ka'amar mashananis. And still we see, you only pay for the hana'ah received, mashananis in mashi zikolo, not for the damage done. So you see very clearly, like Shmuel, that you're pater when the animal is machzeres against Rav. So answers Gemara, who most of love, who mefarik. He answered this himself. The kaima bekarin zavis. Now the case of Pesach Hachanos is where the animal didn't even have to move its head. The Pesach Hachanos is located in the keren zavis. If you look at the diagram Rashi has, where there's a mavi gadol and a mavi katan, the Pesach Hachanos is right by the entrance of the mavi katan. So the animal's walking through the mavi gadol and it's walking straight in the Rishos HaRabim, and then just walks head on straight into the Pesach Hachanos. So it didn't even have to move its head out of the way. That's why it's like it's a Rishos HaRabim and it only pays for Mashe Nenis, not for Mashe Zika. Ikeda Amri, others have the conversation, Machzeres Kli Amlo Pligi De Chayav. If the animal moves its head aside, everyone agrees it's going to be Chayav. Ki Pligi Be Makatsa Mokam Rishus L'Rishos HaRabim. The whole Machlokas is only if a guy owned property and he set aside he moved his fences back, so to speak, a little bit, to let some of his property sort of belong to the Rishos HaRabim. Tosfos says, can't mean that he was totally mafkir his property to the Rishos HaRabim, because then it's certainly as a din of Rishos HaRabim, but that he allows Rishos HaRabim to use that property when he's not using it to put his fruits there. So v'hachi itmar, amar Rav lo shanu al machzeres al mekatzam makom mirshus al Rishos HaRabim petura. That Rav says that when are you going to be chayiv for eating from the Rishos HaNizik, if the animal moves its head aside to eat out of the Rishos HaNizik. But if it's part of the Rishus Rabim. It's like a continuation of the Rishus Rabim, because the guy had left over some of his own property to sort of just run into the Rishus Rabim, then you're going to be pater. Then the animal, it's like it's eating from the Rishus Rabim. Ushmol Amar Afilu Makatsa Makam Rishus Rishus Rabim Chayevus. And Shmuel says, no, it's still the Nizik's property, so you're going to be Chayev. It's not the Rishus Rabim. Just because he lets the Rishus Rabim use it doesn't make it a Rishus Rabim. So says the Gemara, really, if that's the Machlokas, Lema Bebarber Shusaka Mifugi. Maybe they're arguing about the same thing that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva are going to argue about later on in the Masechta, which is a case of Bar Bereshusa, where a guy digs a bar in his own property, and then he's mafkir that property to the Rishus Rabim. He allows the property to become Rishus Rabim. Is he going to be chayiv for damage done in that bar? Is that like digging a bar in Rishus Rabim where he chayiv? Do you say no? When he dug the bar, he was allowed to dig the bar. It was in his own yard. And then later he was a nice guy and he decided to be mafkir his yard to the Rishus Rabim. So that's the exact same case. Rav di Amar Pater, Kasav Bar Bereshus Chayev. Ravu says over here you're going to be Pater when you eat from this area. It's because he considers this area Rishus Rabim. And therefore, if he considers it a Rishus Rabim, if you dug a bar in that area, that's a bar Rishus Rabim, and you're going to be Chayev for any damage that occurs in that bar. Shmuel da Amar Chayev, Shmuel who over here says you're Chayev, meaning you're Chayev, the animal that eats from this area is Chayev, Shmuel obviously holds it's still considered the Rishus HaNizik. It's considered private property, and that's why you're Chayev. So he holds Ksav Bar Bereshus HaPater. So he holds the guy is going to be Pater for any damage that happens by someone falling into a bar in that area, because it's still his property. You fall into a bar, my property, it's not my problem. You shouldn't have been on my property. Right? So he's going to, so the two machloksim seem to be totally on each other. Says Rav, Liolam Emelach, the Alma, Bar Bereshus HaPater. No, I'll really tell you, Rav says, that Bar Bereshus is really Pater. The shiny Hachel, over here it's different. Over here, anyway, you're going to be putter for Shane. Because the mazik can tell the nizik, look, you can't just move your peros closer to the Rishus Rabim and make my shor chayev for eating it. What do you expect? You're putting the peros right there for my shor to eat it. How is my shor not supposed to eat it? Ushmuel Amar Bialma Bar Bereshus HaChayev. And Shmuel could say, no, I really hold Bar Bereshus HaChayev, that it's really considered a Rishus HaRabim Legabe, the bar that you put there. At the Bishlam a bar, Ikalamem Lavadaite, because the guy who gets hurt in the bar, whose animal gets hurt in the bar, could say, you know, we didn't see the bar, we were just walking, and boom, there we go, we fall in the bar. Ela Peros, Mikalamem Lavadaite, Hachazi Lahu, but if fruits are laid out there, you see it. So if you see it, then the animal would slip on it, he wouldn't. The owner of the peros wouldn't be chayiv, because you should have seen it, and therefore, if you eat from it, it's not going to be considered a bar Rishus HaRabim, where the guy's going to be chayiv. It's going to be considered eating from the Rishus HaNizik, and therefore, you're going to be chayiv to pay for the fruits. Okay, lema machzeres tanaihi. Maybe this whole issue of machzeres, of the animal turning its head aside, is a machlokas tanaim. Detanya, we learn a braisa achle mito charechava mishlam es mashinenis. If you eat from the middle of the street, so then you pay for that now you got. Mitzide arechava mishlam es mashizika. If you eat from the sides of the street, so then you only pay for the damage done. Divra meiv Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda shita. Rabbi Asiv Rabbi Elazar omrim ein darka lechol elo lahalich. Rabbi Yossi, sorry, Rabbi Elazar omrim ein darka lechol elo lahalich. That it's not normal for an animal to stop and eat from the sides of the street, it's only normal for an animal to keep on walking along the street. Rabbi Yossi, Haynu Tanakama. So what's Rabbi Yossi saying any different than the Tanakama? It sounds like they're saying the same thing. Ella Machzeres Ikabinayu. Must be that the difference between Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakama is in a case where the animal's walking and it moves its head off to the side and eats from the side. Tanakama, Savra Machzeres, Nami Mishali Mashinenes. Tanakama holds that's the same as eating from the street, and therefore it's like you ate from the Rishus HaRabim and you only pay for the Hana'a received, not for the damage done. Rabbi Yossi Savra Mishalem is Mashay Zika, and Rabbi Yossi holds no, that's called eating from the Rishus HaYachid, and you pay for the damage done. So don't you see, it's a Machlokes Tanayim, whether Machzeres is Chayiv or not, whether Machzeres is called eating from the Rishus HaYachid or eating from the Rishus Rabim. So says Gemara, no, it's not at all the Machlokes. Lo, to Kuleyam Machzeres, Ika Rav, Ika Shmuel. Everyone holds, in the case of Machzeres, you're either going to say, like, you could say either way, like Rav or like Shmuel, that you're Chayiv or Pater. V'hacha bebir b'steyachar k'mifli. Over here, the issue is totally different. The Machlokes is about bir b'steyachar, about the pasuk that says that you're chayiv when you go into someone else's field and you damage.
Marsav or beer b'steyachar v'lo b'rishus harabim. One shita holds that no, when you beer b'steyachar, you're chayiv, but if you do the damage in rishus harabim, you're pater. You do shein in rishus harabim, you're pater. Umarsav or beer b'steyachar v'lo b'rishus hamazik. No, what the pasuk is telling me is if you go into someone else's rishus, you're going to be chayiv, but if you go into the but if you damage in your own rishus, your animal eats something that someone left in your house, in your property, that's when you're going to be pater. But in Rosh Hashanah Rabin, you'd be chayav also. So, frankly, Gemara, really? That's what the pasuk is teaching me? The pasuk needs to teach me that if my animal eats something from my house, that I'm putter to pay? Because some idiot left something in my house that my animal ate, that I'm putter for? The pasuk really needs to teach me that? You don't need a pasuk for that. That's a simple svara. I could tell the guy, what did you leave your peros in my house for? You shouldn't have left it in my house. You wouldn't have had this problem. You don't need a pasuk for that. So that can't be the machlokas over here. Ela de ilfa v'rabbe oshiyah kibinayi. The nafkamina is it called eating from Rosh Hashanah Rabim when they have the cases of Ilfa and Raboshi that we had in yesterday's daf, when one guy, one animal climbs, eats off of the other animal's back, or climbs up into a jar and breaks the jar as it's eating, right? That type of thing, is that considered normal? That's what they're really arguing about. They're not arguing about when am I going to be chayiv for my animal eating from Rosh Hashanah Rabim. There's no question that Shane in Rosh Hashanah Rabim is pater. The pasuk is definitely teaching me that with the words beer b'steyacher. Just interestingly, we close with this. The Rama in Shulchan Aruch Chosha Mishpat Mishin Peites Sif Yud, the Mechaber of there quotes the Lashon of the Rambam where he says that if you're in the Rosh Hashanah Mazik, you're putter, right? If my animal eats something from my property, I'm putter. Why? Because I could say, you know, you shouldn't have come into my Rosh Hashanah in the first place. And also, the Torah says, I'm only chayiv when I'm bir b'steyach, when I go into someone else's property, to exclude when I damage my own property. So, frek the Ramah, that's the Lashon of the Rambam, frek the Ramah, tzarachiyun, that pasuk is b'shein v'regel to tell me that I'm pater rishus harabim. That pasuk is not about my property, our Gemara. Right, our Gemara says that pasuk can't be about to pater me from my own property, because that's obvious. That's a svara. So that's a shtarka kasha, the Ramah, unusual a little bit for the Ramah to ask a kasha on the Rambam, but that's a shtarka kasha the Ramah asks on the lashon of the Rambam as it's quoted in Shulchan. Okay, we'll continue with the Mishnah tomorrow.